Blast Prof JC, and this is our second installment of a podcast video for this week. And I just want to dive on in. When we're having difficult conversations, some of the mistakes that we make are around intentions and assumptions. And what we're talking about this today is it's called intentions, blame, and contribution. So we're going to look at chapters 3 and 4, and we're going to pull out intentions, blame, contribution. But one of the first things we have to understand is when we come into a conversation, primarily a difficult conversation, if we're not careful, we bring assumptions into the conversation. And you know what happens when we make assumptions. You've heard of that saying, when you assume, you make a blank out of you and a blank out of me, right? And you know what? That's a funny saying, but I've seen it time and time again in my own life. Assumptions usually are never the right way to go about it, okay? And so here are some ways that we assume, okay, intentions from the impact on us, okay? Oftentimes, we assume the worst, okay? We go into a difficult conversation and we assume the worst. We assume the worst about the other person. We assume the worst about their intentions. We assume the worst about what they did, or whatever it might be, but we assume the worst about the situation. If we're not careful, here's another assumption we make, okay, about intentions. We treat ourselves more charitably, okay? What's ironic, and I talk about this in trainings and corporate trainings all the time, what's ironic and all too human about our tendency to attribute bad intentions to others is how differently we treat ourselves. If you are married, when your husband or spouse or partner or wife or whoever it is, before he gets to pick up the dry cleaning, he or she's irresponsible. But when you forget to book the airline tickets, it's because you're overworked and you're stressed. You know, think about the times when you're out in traffic and, you know, somebody cuts you off. You know, what do we say about that person? Well, we maybe throw up a certain finger, or we have certain words that we say, or we have certain words that we yell, you know, at that person. You know, you blankety blank so-and-so, we're flipping, you know, all that kind of stuff, because that person's a jerk. That, you know, that person's an idiot. Now, I will tell you this, when somebody cuts you off and you're in the fast lane and then they go slow, that person's kind of an idiot, okay? I don't like those kind of people either. But we're not talking about that, okay? But now but flip the situation around, and let's say we're the person who cuts somebody else off. And yet what we do is we look at ourselves and we don't say that we're a jerk. We just say, well, it's because I'm late. It's because I've got to get to this appointment. It's because I've got to get home and pick up my kids. It's because I've, you know, whatever it might be. We give ourselves a good motive on that. We give ourselves, good good intentions. So if we're not careful, we ascribe to other people horrible and bad intentions, and we ascribe to ourselves really good intentions. Okay. And oftentimes when we do this, it's costly. Okay. Here's one of the most dangerous things. I want you to remember this. Here's one of the most dangerous things that we can do when we talk about this idea of intentions. We assume bad intentions mean bad character. Perhaps the biggest danger of assuming the other person has bad intentions is that we easily jump from they had bad intentions to they are a bad person. We settle into judgments about their character that color our view of them, and indeed affect not only any conversation we might have, but the entire relationship. Once we think we have someone figured out, we see all their actions through that lens, and the stakes rise even more. Even if we don't share our view with them, the impact remains. The worse our view of the other person's character, the easier it is to justify avoiding them or saying nasty things behind their back. This is a dangerous thing for us to do right here, okay? It also goes into some of the greatest leaders I know. One of the things they understand about human nature and about the human experience is that people are flawed. Human beings are inherently flawed. And they're not surprised by that. They're not worried about that. They're not upset by that. They just understand that human beings are inherently flawed individuals. And so when a human being makes a mistake, they're able to say, hey, human being, that human being made a mistake. And it doesn't make them a bad person. It just means that they made a bad choice. And that's a big, that, you know, that's huge when we start thinking about how do we approach the workplace? If somebody does us wrong, are we saying that's a bad person? Or are we just saying, I don't necessarily like that action? Now, if we start seeing a pattern of actions every single day, all the time, then we've got a different situation. Okay. But if we just see somebody who just takes a wrong move or does something wrong, it could be one. But if we just pattern that person, if we pattern our, you know, that person, we're always looking for the wrong that they're doing, then we've got some situations there. Okay. So that's the dangerous one right there. Okay. But you remember that one, the dangerous one, when we assume bad intentions mean bad character. Okay. Then we have accusing them of bad intentions creates defensiveness. Our assumptions about other people's intentions can also have significant impact on our conversations. The easiest and most common way of expressing these assumptions is with an accusatory question. How come you wanted to hurt me? Why do you ignore me like this? What have I done that makes you feel it's okay to step all over me, right? So we become defensive in our approach to them. We think we are sharing our hurt, our frustration, our anger, or confusion. We're trying to begin a conversation that will end in greater understanding, perhaps some improved behavior, maybe an apology. What they think we are doing is just trying to provoke, accuse, or malign them. In other words, they make the same mistake, leap into judging our intentions. And see, that's the problem in a lot of difficult conversations. We judge intentions, okay? And then we get defensive. Because we're looking at them and saying, you had bad intentions. And they're looking at us and saying, no, you have bad intentions. So we just get defensive and nothing gets done. Okay. And then we have to watch out for this. Attributions can become self-fulfilling. Our assumptions about another person and their intentions, oftentimes, if we're not careful, it becomes kind of a, like a self-fulfilling prophecy where we say, this person is always late. And maybe they're not, maybe they're late twice a week. That's not always, okay? But what we do is we say, this person's always late. And even if they're late just twice a week, it becomes always in our mind, okay? So that's a dangerous one there. Here's a question I want you to answer when it comes to intentions. I just mentioned this to you. What is the most dangerous one that we talked about? Okay, I just want you to write that out. And where have you seen that in your own life? What's the most dangerous one, and where have you seen that in your own life? Let's move on to blame, okay? In order to do this, we've got to get to our next chapter here, chapter 4, okay? Abandon blame. How do we do that? We map the contribution system, okay? Here's the deal. In conversations, if we're trying to have a conversation, okay, it's about looking forward. It's about helping people move forward. It's about helping the organization move forward. Blame is about judging and it's looking backwards. Now, sometimes, you know, obviously in big situations, blame has to be had. If we've lost a lot of money, we've lost major clients, then maybe we have to look at it and say, well, who is to blame for this? What is to blame in the organization for this? Okay. But when we ask the question, who's to blame? We're really asking three questions in one. First, did this person cause the problem? Did your assistant's action or inaction cause you to have the wrong storyboards? Second, if so, this is given an actual example right here. But when we say that this was your fault, it is shorthand for giving condemning answers to all three questions. Okay. When blame is in play, you can expect defensiveness, strong emotion, interruptions, and arguments about what good assistants and loving spouses or any reasonable person should or shouldn't do. When we blame someone, we are offering them the role of the accused. So they do what accused people do. They defend themselves any way they can. That is powerful right there for us to understand. Blame in a situation is always looking back. And again, I'm not saying that we can't. Again, there are some situations where we have to ascribe blame. We've got to talk about that. That is important. But if we're not careful and we're just always looking back, okay, and we put someone on the defensive, they're going to do what people on the defense do. They defend themselves, and they defend themselves in any possible way that they can. So what we need to do is move from blame to contribution. Contribution asks a related but different set of questions. The first question is, how did we each contribute to bringing about the current situation? Now, again, this is not for all situations, okay? And again, I have to say this because in our workplace today, we see these instances of abuse, workplace abuse, sexual harassment. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about a legit issue with culture, a legit issue with a product or a service, a time that somebody's mistakes or somebody's actions led to poor products, poor services, right? So we go to the question, we say, how do we each contribute to bringing about this current situation? Or put another way, what did each do or not do to get ourselves into this mess? So that's the first question. The second question we do that leads us to contribution is, having identified the contribution system, how can we change it? What can we do about it as we go forward? In short, contribution is useful when our goal is to understand what actually happened so that we can improve how we work together in the future. That's the key. Blame is saying that I accuse you. And when I accuse you, you do what accused people do. You become defensive. And you will defend. And we're not getting to the root cause of the issue. When I have a contribution mindset, it says it's systems thinking. And this is huge. If we had all day, we would talk about systems thinking. Systems thinking and leadership says that it's always the system's fault. Okay. Now the system may have hired the wrong person. So it might be a situation where we have to let somebody go. And maybe we've had to fire three different people in the same job. And so we ask, how did the system let this happen? And so we have to go back and look at the system in a much deeper way. But contribution, when we move from blame to contribution, okay, we find that we're able to make, we all get involved in this. How did this situation happen and how can we make a change? Contribution is joint and interactive. Focusing on the contributions of both the boss and the assistant, seeking understanding rather than judgment and accusations, is critical. It's not just good practice. It accords more closely with reality. As a rule, when things go wrong in human relationships, everyone has contributed in some important way. And here's one thing that I've heard divorce lawyers talk about. They'll say that in any marriage that doesn't go wrong, even if there's infidelity or something, now again, I'm not talking about abuse or anything like that, but even if there's infidelity, not abuse, but infidelity or someone steps out, typically there are probably two sides to that story. Now we don't blame the person. We don't say that, hey, the person having the infidelity, we're not making excuses for this person, but we're saying that there's probably a situation there that happened that led to that. Okay. And so both people, if you take that systems thinking, say, how did we get to this position right now? Okay. I'm trying to think of anything else I want to say. The benefits of understanding contribution. Contribution encourages learning and change. Okay. And it even gives the example here on page 67 about let's say it's the wife who has the infidelity. Okay. So a couple is confronting that. Accusations fly as questions of blame are raised. After much anguish, the husband chooses to stay in the marriage under the condition that such infidelity never happen again. There's an apparent resolution, but what happens? But what has each person learned from the experience? Okay. As one-sided as the affair may seem, it often involves some contribution from both partners. Unless these contributions are sorted out, the problem and patterns in the marriage that gave rise to the affair will continue to cause difficulty. Okay. Some questions need to be asked. Does the husband listen to his wife? Does he stay at work late? Was his wife feeling sad, lonely, undesirable? If so, why? Okay. And to understand the system, and I just talked about that systems thinking, to understand the system, the couple needs to follow up with more questions, okay? If the husband doesn't listen to the wife, what is she doing to contribute to that? What does she say or do that encourages him to shut down or withdraw? Does she work every weekend or withdraw when she's feeling upset? How does their, see, so the point here, and you can read these questions in 67, actually really great questions. But the point is, when we move from blame to contribution, we begin to ask deep, deep questions, deeper questions. And we just keep going, asking more questions. This is the secret to having difficult conversations. They should lead us to asking greater questions so we can get to the resolution. That's the key. So here's the second question I'm going to ask you. Here's the second part. Okay. What is blame? and what is contribution? So I want you to write those out based on what we just said. Don't just give me your own definition. I will know if you haven't listened to the podcast. Don't just give me some random definition based on what we just talked about, based on what's the book, what is blame and what is contribution? And what is the most important thing? I just want you to share from your perspective. Well, what is the most important thing that happens when we move from blame to contribution in any difficult conversation? Okay. You've got your questions. I look forward to reading your answers. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. And I'll see you next week for more of our podcast. Actually, I won't see you next week because next week is no. The next week is Thanksgiving break. So we actually won't do any podcast next week. So I'll see you the week after that. Hey, thanks so much for listening, everybody. I look forward to reading your answers. Take care.